word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible.
Commandment number 8 of the Ten Commandments states in a straightforward manner, "You shall not steal." Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15. Have you ever had something stolen from you? Maybe someone broke into your home or broke into your car. Maybe somebody took something that was valuable to you. Maybe it was not so much valuable from a monetary standpoint as much as it was valuable from a sentimental standpoint. It was something maybe that you worked hard to get. Maybe you had to save up to buy it. So you went through quite an effort to get it, and they just took it easily from you. It's a terrible, terrible feeling to have something stolen. Well, at least it is most of the time. Now, a few years ago, I had an old van that was out of date and falling apart, and I actually used to leave the key in the ignition and hope that someone would steal it. Unfortunately, I couldn't ever get anyone to steal it. And maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I was being a stumbling block. But under most circumstances, it is a terrible feeling to have something taken from you. Just think about all of the measures that we take because of the threat of stealing, because that threat is so prevalent. Contracts that are signed, locks and alarm systems, and all kinds of measures, video cameras, because stealing is so prevalent in the world in which we live. When I read the eighth commandment and I hear that statement, "You shall not steal," I guess the first picture that comes to mind is a man climbing out of a window with a black mask over his eyes and a bulging sack over his shoulder, like you used to see in a lot of the movies and cartoons. But while stealing is taking something that does not belong to you, especially in secret or by force, there are a lot of other forms of stealing that people might not think of in an obvious way. Since I've never broken into a house or even felt tempted to do so, maybe it's easier for me to think of this command with that icon of that man in the mask with his sack over his back. But really and truly, the eighth commandment speaks about our struggle for integrity. And whether we would ever be a burglar or not, we all need to be conscious of the need to respect integrity. So today, let's study about this commandment in the hope of enhancing our sense of a desire for integrity. As we approach this study, let's start by asking this question: how do people steal? You know, when you think about breaking into someone's house and taking something that belongs to them, or their car, or their desk, or their office, or whatever, that's the more obvious way of stealing. Surely we don't have to labor that particular point. But what I mean by asking this question is that maybe there are some other forms of stealing that are not as obvious. And as we think about these forms of it, we realize that stealing is even more prevalent, maybe, than we had originally thought. You might be surprised to find out how many different forms of stealing are actually mentioned in Scripture. So let's go through a few of these. Number one, people steal by deceiving their customers. When a company convinces a customer to buy something in the belief that they're getting a fair product or a fair amount for a fair price, But in reality, the company is giving the customer less than what they believe they're getting, or they're not getting what they believe they're getting, then that's stealing. It's taking money for something that you're promising that you're not delivering. And this is something that happens today, but it's not a new problem. This is a problem that goes all the way back to biblical times. In Amos chapter 8, verse 5, the Bible says that the people were saying, "When will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may trade wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel large, falsifying the scales by deceit?" Now, first of all, as we look at this verse, what is the deal about the new moon being passed and the Sabbath? Well, under the Old Testament law, people were not allowed to do business on the Sabbath day or during the festival of the new moon. So, if you're a person that your business is more important to you than your religion, then the Sabbath gets in the way of what's really important to you. You don't really care that God doesn't want you to work on the Sabbath day. All you can think about is all of the money that you could be making on that day. So the fact that they're saying, why doesn't the new moon hurry up and get over with? Why doesn't the Sabbath hurry up and get over with so that we can sell grain and trade wheat? That should tell you that making money is more important to these people than their faith and their religion. And then you find out that just how important making money is to them, because they're willing to lie and steal and deceive. Because they make the ephah small and they make the shekel large. And what does that mean? Well, in ancient times, things were exchanged on the basis of weight. And you can picture in your mind the scale that they would use. It was a leveling scale, where you would put the object that you wish to measure on one side of the scale, and then you have these weights that are supposed to be by an objective standard, and you put those on the other side until the scale levels out. Now, the ephah was a measurement that would be typically used for measuring out the wheat or the grain that the vendor is trying to sell. So the vendor would take the ephah, you know, you have a standard ephah, and he might shave a little bit off of that weight so that it's a little bit less than an ephah. And the reason for that being is when he puts that on the scale to the customer, it appears as though they're getting an ephah. But in reality, it takes less wheat or less grain to level out the scale. So the vendor's getting to keep more of what he's trying to sell. But money was also measured out in weight. You know what? If you were paying in silver or gold or whatever it was that you were paying, often that would be measured with a shekel. So the same concept, the scale would be used to measure out the money. Instead of having paper money or coins that are worth a certain amount, money was measured by weight. So in this case, you have the shekel. That's how you measure money. And this particular vendor makes his shekel a little bit larger than the objective standard, so that when the customer is giving money, it's going to take a little bit more money to level out the scale. So he's giving less to the customer than he's supposed to give, and he's taking more from the customer than he's supposed to take. He falsifies the scales by deceit. He promises something to the customer, but he doesn't deliver it. And he takes more from the customer than what they agreed upon. That's stealing. That's stealing. And any time a repairman makes unnecessary repairs and charges a customer for that, anytime a doctor orders unnecessary tests just so that an insurance company can be billed, anytime a salesman sort of just skips over the fine print and the transaction that's being made, Well, all of those are other examples. I'm not just picking on these professions. No matter the profession, there is an opportunity to do this kind of thing. And to be a person of integrity means I'm going to deliver what I promise I will deliver, and I'm only going to take what we agreed upon in the exchange. In Deuteronomy 25, 13 through 15, the Bible says, "You shall not have in your bag differing weights, a heavy and a light. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. You shall have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." And that last statement is very important. Whatever this business person thought they were going to profit by lying and stealing and deception, they're going to lose in the long run, because God sees everything that happens and God is going to hold them accountable. Now, if they were to act in a fair manner, they might lose a little bit of money in the transaction that's happening right now, but they're going to gain something much greater, because God is going to lengthen your days and God is going to bless your life. So how do people steal? Well, one way that people steal is by deceiving their customers. Here's another way. People steal when they defraud employers. You know, if we, as we work for a company, if we are taking things from the company that are not really for the work that we're supposed to do, and it's not agreed upon with the company, or if we're promising to deliver something to our company and we're not delivering that, well, then that can be a form of stealing. An employee may pad the expense account or steal supplies. Or an employee may be stealing in the form of taking money for work that the employee did not actually do. That's a serious matter. U.S. News report says that employees steal much more from a company than shoplifters do. I found that surprising. Every year, companies lose billions of dollars in employee theft. And then when you start adding time theft, in addition to that, then that grows even more. Colossians 3, 22 through 24 says, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." That passage teaches us that when we have a relationship where we're working for someone, that we are to work for them in the same way that we would work for God, or the same way that we would work for the Lord. And as we do that, it wouldn't be with eye service, in other words, just to look good, but we would do so with sincerity of heart. But another thing is, we would not try to deceive the Lord that we did something that we didn't do, and we wouldn't try to take from the Lord something that doesn't really belong to us. And if we wouldn't do that working for God, then we shouldn't do that in other situations either. The Lord will reward us for dealing with our employers in a fair and honest manner. God will reward integrity. Titus 2, 9 and 10 says, "Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering." Now that word pilfering is another word for stealing. Instead of pilfering and stealing from one's employer, we should show all good fidelity, that we may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Now, I must acknowledge that the verses that I've just read are specifically talking about the relationship between a master and a slave. That was something that was very common in the first century world. And we It's not always a parallel situation between that and the employer-employee situation, but the principle is the same. The attitude should be the same, whether it's a master-slave or employer-employee type of situation. So we don't want to steal by defrauding employers. But sometimes people steal by defrauding employees. When a business employs people and doesn't honor the agreement that has been made with them, well, that's a form of stealing. You enter into an agreement with a certain understanding, and then when you don't fulfill that, someone has already given you their time, they've already given you the work, but they don't receive the compensation that was promised to them, and that money that they were entitled to has been stolen from them. In James 5:4, the Bible says, "Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath." Here's a man who hires workers to mow his fields, and they do the work. They're out there in the sun, putting forth the back-breaking effort to do the work that they agreed to do. And then at the end of the day, the employer comes along and says, well, he comes up with some weird loophole or some ridiculous situation that says that, for whatever reason, now he doesn't owe them the money that he promised them. They didn't cut it short enough or whatever the case may be, so now he's only going to pay them 75% of what he promised them. He's stealing from them. Whatever money he promised that he doesn't deliver that they agreed upon, that's stealing. They've had that stolen from them. And the Lord says that the wages that he was keeping back by fraud were crying out to God. The cries of the reapers, who are now not going to be able to take care of their families because this money is being stolen from them, their cries, their desperation is also reaching the ears of the Lord. And he's going to handle that. He's going to hold that employer responsible for that. They had given their full value in the work that they had done. The employer had brought in the bumper crop. Now it was time to do what he said he would do. So that's a form of stealing. Another form of stealing is by failing to pay for goods and services. We receive something with a promise that we will pay a certain amount for it, and if we do not honor that what we say we will do, that's a form of stealing. It was given to us on the understanding of the arrangement that we would provide a certain amount of money. And if we don't do that, then we can be guilty of stealing. Psalm 37:21 says that the wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. The wicked has no problem taking something and not paying for it. But those who are people of faith should have serious reservations about that. One of my teachers in school, Mr. Curtis Cates, told us a story about a situation like this. He was preaching at a place, and that church owned a home for the preacher, and that home was right beside the church building. So one night, there was a knock at the door, and Mr. Cates went to the door, and there was a man standing there, and he told him a story about how he was passing through town, and he was getting low on gas, and he was low on money, and he wanted to know if he could borrow $20 to get some gas. And they made the arrangement. He got paid the next week, so he would be back on the next week, and he would repay the $20. So Brother Cates gave him the $20 under that understanding. But the week went by, and the man never showed back up, and Brother Cates really didn't have any hope that he would. A few months went by, and during that time, Brother Cates left that congregation and went to preach for another congregation which wasn't too far away. And this church, like the other one, also had a preacher's house that was next door to the church building. Well, one night there's a knock on the door again, and Brother Cates goes to the door, and there's that same guy who said that he was going to come back and repay that $20. And the guy recognizes Brother Cates, and he says, "I've been looking everywhere for you," which of course wasn't true, because he still didn't have the $20 and still didn't have any intention to pay it back. It's a matter of integrity. It's a matter of integrity that if I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I agree to pay a certain amount for something, then I need to live up to that agreement, that understanding. Another way that people steal is by failing to pay their taxes. None of us really enjoy paying taxes, but it's a necessary part of life. God has created the civil government to provide a number of services for us, and we have some responsibility in funding those services. Not a lot of us don't like everything that our taxes go to, and we would love to change that and should work to doing what we can do to change that, but that still does not alleviate us of our responsibility to pay taxes. The Bible says that we are to render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Romans 13:7. Jesus said to render, therefore, to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Luke 20 and verse 25. Now, tax avoidance is good stewardship. I should not feel obligated to pay any more than what the government deems I should pay. But tax evasion is illegal, both in the eyes of the land and in the eyes of God. And so that could be considered a form of stealing. And then there's one more that maybe people don't think about, but we should. People steal by failing to give to the Lord the way He commands us. In Malachi 3:8, the Bible says, Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. Well, how can God be robbed? How can you sneak past Him and steal something that belongs to Him? Well, not in that way. You're not going to sneak past God. But you can rob God in this way. And here's what the prophet explains. In what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Now, a tithe in the Old Testament, that means a tenth or 10%, and God's people were expected to give 10% of what they had to God as an act of worship, but also this was money that was used in the temple, and it was used to fund the priesthood. Now, there's a difference between a tax and a tithe. A tax is given solely out of obligation, but because a tithe was given to God, it was given out of love. Now, the New Testament does not command the same principle of tithing necessarily, but passages like 1 Corinthians 16:1-2 tell us that we are to give as we've been prospered. So just like the tithing of the Old Testament, as we are blessed with more, as we prosper more, then we should give more. And to totally ignore that responsibility that we have to the church today is, in a sense, a form of stealing. Stealing is what happens when money becomes a person's God. And one of the first things that's going to happen is they begin to diminish their responsibility to God. I saw a story the other day about a lottery winner. He had a ticket that won $300 million. But in the meantime, after he won, things just fell apart for him. He ended up in divorce. Two of his daughters developed drug problems and ended up overdosing on drugs. And years later, the man was being interviewed about this, and he said, "I'll tell you what, if I had it to do over with, if I could go back to that moment when I had that ticket in my hand and I just learned that I had the winning numbers," he said, I would tear that ticket up and throw it away. I wouldn't even take the money. Of course, I would take it back further than that, and I wouldn't have purchased the ticket to start with. But nonetheless, you get the idea that money didn't bring him the happiness that he thought it would. Stealing doesn't bring the happiness that people think it will. It's a matter of integrity. We need to respect integrity because we're being watched by God. This is important to him. We are to be a light of the world, shining for others to see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. But stealing won't cause God to be glorified. We need to understand that we're going to reap whatever we sow. Galatians 6:7 says, "God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. If I plant corn seed, I'm going to get corn, not potatoes. If I plant apple seeds, I'm going to get apple trees, not peach trees. If I sow integrity in my life, I'm going to reap blessings from God. But if I sow stealing, then I'm going to reap the punishment of that unless I repent of it and seek God's forgiveness." It's whatever you give out in life, that's what you're going to get back eventually. "He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live." Proverbs 15:27. God says it's just not worth it. Whatever you think you might get here and now out of stealing, it's just not worth what you're going to give up in the long run, especially when you think about heaven and hell hanging in the balance. We should respect integrity because integrity is how we build good character, and good character is how we build a powerful influence so that we can lead others in the way that God would want us to go. You know, you think about the legacy of the apostles Peter and James and John and Matthew, Andrew, Paul, men of honesty, men of integrity. But you know, Judas was also an apostle. And yet when you mention the name Judas, you think of deception. There's a much different legacy there. And we have to think about the legacy that we're going to leave behind. As the Lord said, what will it profit a man if he can gain the whole world? Or as it pertains to this lesson, what if he could steal the whole world but lose his own soul? Wealth you get by dishonesty will do you no good, but honesty can save your life, Proverbs 10:2 says. Let's keep that in mind. There's a reason why God said, "You shall not steal." It wasn't just to protect us from losing things, but it was to protect us from losing the most important thing, which is our integrity.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.